essence of existence can be regarded as three very soon. Abhidhamma is very, very interesting. So I think it is the most interesting subject in the world. And also it is the most beneficial. And I am sure you enjoy this Abhidhamma lectures. And you know, the Buddha said, the taste of the Dhamma excels all the taste. That's true. No? So when you understand the teachings of the Buddha, you will get appreciation, you will have the joy and happiness, and you will find the taste really excels all other tastes. I find it myself. So we should thank Subhanjaya Buddhist Association to arrange our Abhidhamma lectures starting from today. So we'll go on for 9 days. So today, because of the heavy rain and the heavy traffic, and my first experience with this heavy traffic today, so it takes me and Mr. Fu, he took me from the place I'm staying. So we took 3 hours to come to here. 3 hours. So he's supposed to take me to dinner first, and only then we should come here. But now I have to go on without dinner, with an empty stomach. So some of you would be have to go without dinner like me, I think. So we are supposed to do for 2 hours. I think you can stand for that. Now, Abhidhamma. Now we have some introduction here, the Abhidhamma. So the Abhi, in Pali, it means profound, excellent, or sublime. So the Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, or you can also regard it as the natural truths or the natural realities. So Abhidhamma is the profound and excellent teaching of the Buddha. And it used to be known as the higher teaching of the Buddha. Now, all the teachings of the Buddha are collected into 3 collections we call Tipitaka. So you'll be familiar with the 3 Tipitakas. The first we call it a Suttanta Pitaka. So in the Suttanta Pitaka, the Buddha used the common vocabulary to explain his doctrines to various listeners who has different capacities for understanding the Dhamma. So, because he used the common vocabulary, it is known as the conventional teaching of the Buddha. So, we can easily understand the Suttanta Pitaka. Actually, all his discourses that he gives to various persons, including the devas, like the Mangala Sutta. Now, he actually taught to the devas. So all those discourses that he gave in the human world belong to the Suttanta Pitaka. Then we have the Vinaya Pitaka. In this he used his authority to lay down rules and regulations for bhikkhus and bhikkhunis. So bhikkhunis are not the nuns. No, they are the female bhikkhus. So these rules and regulations, they lead to good conduct for these bhikkhus and bhikkhunis. So they are worthy of veneration by man and God. Then we have Abhidhamma Pitaka. So in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, he teach about the ultimate reality. Or in other words, he analyzed all the psychophysical phenomena in the universe into the ultimate reality, and he teach these ultimate realities in full, so without any regard to the capacity of understanding of the listeners. And of course, this Abhidhamma Pitaka is expounded by the Buddha in Dhavatim's heaven. So when the Buddha undertook insight meditation on the night when he was going to be enlightened, fully enlightened as the Buddha, so at that time he has already analyzed this body and mind into the ultimate realities. So because he could analyze the psychophysical phenomena into ultimate realities, he can perform the insight meditation, we call the vipassana, and he can find out the causal relations that you know as dependent arising, paticca samuppada, and from then he can understand the full noble truth. So after then he become enlightened. So in Abhidhamma, the Buddha, he taught about the ultimate realities that make up all these psychophysical phenomena in the world. So when he analyze all the things into ultimate realities, so we come to know what are the ultimate realities that really exist in the universe. And also in this Abhidhamma, he also reveals the universal truths, like the Four Noble Truths, which are regarded as the highest, the highest truths in the world, because by understanding the Four Noble Truths, you can eliminate all the mental defilements, and you become liberated from all suffering, and you become the noblest person we call Arahat. So after eliminating all those defilements, the Buddha attained the supreme omniscience, we call in Pali Sabbinyuta Jnana, the omniscience. So when we study Abhidhamma, we can understand the Buddha's omniscience. So how great is his wisdom? So we also have the teaching of the Buddha. He said, those who understand the Dhamma will understand the Buddha. So when we understand the Dhamma, we shall understand the Buddha better. Now, we also call the Buddha Abhidhamma as the Buddha's supreme philosophy, because he reveals all the ultimate realities and universal truths in the Abhidhamma. So philosophy means the love of truth, The philosophers, they love truths and they search for truths, but I think they do not find the ultimate natural truths. Just like Socrates, he said that he devoted his life to the search for truths, because he believed that once you know the truths, you will enjoy all the virtues of the truth. soul, but he admits that all he knows is that he knows nothing. So he says, all I know is that I know nothing. He is a wise man, because he knows that he knows nothing. So you have to call him a wise man. So actually, Socrates is a contemporary with the Buddha. But it seems the Western philosopher, with the exception of a few, like Schopenhauer. Schopenhauer, he studied Buddhism. So his philosophy is actually based on the teachings of the Buddha. So very few philosophers, they study or understand the Buddha's teaching. So, since the Abhidhamma reveals all these universal truths, which we can say they are true forever. So we can regard the Abhidhamma as the supreme philosophy. And also, the Abhidhamma is known as the supreme psychology of the Buddha, because he analyzed and described the mind in detail. So again here, so psychologists, they are supposed to know about the mind. They are the person who studies the mind. But they must admit, up till now, they do not see the mind yet. They do not see the mind yet. No? So there's no scientific instruments up till now by which you can detect the mind. But psychologists know the mind is most powerful. They know that the mind is very, very powerful. So they said that the power of the mind is infinite. So the mind is all powerful, and it can bring about everything that if you sincerely believe that you can achieve it. So though they say that they do not know what the mind really is, but in the case of the Buddha, he knows the mind better than all the psychologists, because he can see the mind very vividly, and he can analyze the mind. So he can find out what are those defilements that defy the mind, that make the mind base, wicked, and suffering. And he also knows how to eliminate those defilements to purify the mind. So once you can purify your mind, you can enjoy peace and happiness right away. So in the insight meditation, you go up till the total purity of the mind. So when you can eliminate all those defilements, your mind will be totally pure. And at that time, you can enjoy the peace of Nibbana as much as you like. So we should rightly call the Abhidhamma as the supreme psychology of the Buddha. So in the Goenka's report, he talked about a psychologist in Paris. So that psychologist, he studied the latest methods of psychology, especially in psychiatrics. He came back to Paris. He opened a clinic, very successful, so another clinic. So he had been devoting most of his time to these clinics. Of course, he is earning a lot of money, but he lost his temper. So he could not get well with his family, even with his wife and children. It seemed to be shouting all of them. So he becomes very, very short-tempered. So he found that he needs some cure. So there's some mental ailment in him, and he is a psychiatrist, but he cannot cure himself. So he went for 10 days retreat at Goenka Center, and he admitted it. All the psychology that he knew is very little compared to the psychology of the Buddha, he said. So he got cured from there, from that 10 days meditation. Well, and we also call the Buddha's Abhidhamma as the mental science, because the Buddha analyzed mind and matter into ultimate indivisible entities, very, very scientifically, to understand the true nature of all things and all beings. Well, then we get the next. That is a little introduction about the Abhidhamma that you are going to study. So you can feel that, Abhidhamma is very, very profound. No? It is actually superior than the modern philosophy, modern psychology, and even science cannot match with the Buddha's teaching. Now we'll go to the next. So here, I think we have, this is actually the truth or reality. Now, in Abhidhamma, the Buddha talks about two kinds of truth that we should know. And the first kind of truth is called conventional truth or apparent reality. In Pali, we call Samuti Satya, Samuti Satya or Panyati. So these are the conventional realities. They are the reference of ordinary conceptual thoughts and conventional modes of expression. They refer to things which people generally think to really exist, and to the names given to these things, so that they can be referred to in speech or in communication. They include all living beings, all inanimate things, and the names given to designate these things. Some examples are like the man, woman, dog, cat, house, car, etc. So they are apparent realities. Though they seem to exist, they do not really exist, because they just represent conceptual thought, and they can be divided into similar things or entities. Well, I think you need some explanation here. So you will need explanation now. Now what the Buddha said, what we think that really exists in this world do not really exist. Do not really exist. So we think, I exist. Men, women, they exist. And the tables and the buildings, they exist. That's what we think. But the Buddha said they don't really exist. They don't really exist. And we give names to refer to this thing. So you will call me a human being, and you will call me a man. And now, since you know my name, you will also call me Dr. Mon. You identify man, Dr. Mon, with myself. Since you can see me, and you can come and touch me. So you will say, oh, Dr. Mon, he is a man, he really exists. He is teaching us Abhidhamma now. That's what you think. But the Buddha said, well, the names are just Panyati. Well, Panyati means just. They are the given names. So you can choose any name to designate a person. Actually, when I was born, my father, he gave me the name, my first name is Toshe. But when I came to the university, I didn't like that name. That name is very, I don't like, it's not sounds well, so I changed my name. So I took the Memkin Mon, so I gave myself. So you see, in various languages, we have different vocabularies to refer to a single thing. So since these words, these names, can be chosen by will, would you say they really exist in nature, or they are invented by you? No, they are just invented by you. They do not really exist in nature. And how about that person? That Dr. Mon. When I say, I do not really exist, so would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? No. So you can come. You just show which is Dr. Mon. Which is Dr. Mon? Which is the man that you say is Dr. Mon? So you will come and you say, oh, this is Dr. Mon, you will say. Well, do you mean my clothing is Dr. Mon? So I can take off my clothes and just leave it on the table? That is not Dr. Mon. No, it's not Dr. Mon. So you may come, oh, this is Dr. Mon. No, you mean the hair is Dr. Mon? So I can cut the hair and just leave it. It's no longer Dr. Mon. So the Buddha said, we can analyze a person. First into 32 parts, he said, like the head hair, body hair, the nails, the teeth, the skin, the flesh, the bones, the blood, the liver, the heart, the lungs. So you divide, and you analyze me, you dissect me, and put these things apart. So you will get 32 heaps of these body parts, body organs. Which part you call Dr. Mon? So when you analyze like that, there's no man, no Dr. Mon. And again, that hair, the skin, the flesh, the bones, do they really exist? Well, when you cremate a corpse, it's turned to ash. So when it comes to ash, again you see, there's no blood, no flesh, no skin. So even that ash, you can dissolve in water and nothing remains.
Car owner, please move your car. You're blocking a lot of people. AEP 9921. AEP 9921.
So, when I think the Buddha's philosophy is very, very good. Like, for example, in science, we know that according to our vision, we say, the earth is round, and the earth is stationary, and the sun and the moon are revolving around the earth. That's what we see. That's what we think. But science tells us today, the earth is not flat, it is round, it is not stationary, it is moving at high speed in space, and it is going around the sun. The sun is stationary. The earth is going around the sun. But according to our vision, it's just the opposite. bull. There you can see. Bull. No, there's a seeing. Seeing is believing. So seeing can be deceiving. Seeing can be deceiving. No? So you will find the same things, not in science also. Now science also try to analyze all things in the universe. Now science, they also analyze. So they want to know the basic fundamental things. So in science, when they analyze, they say that the basic fundamental thing is matter and energy. That's what science knows. Now all the things that occupy space, that has the bodies, so we call it matter. We call it matter. And energy. Energy does not occupy space. It is shapeless, formless. But we know the existence of energy by its properties. Not like the sound energy now. You can hear my voice because of that sound energy. So we know there's a light energy. And because of electric energy, now the light is on and the fan is turning. So now we have to accept that this energy also exists. And when we come to the 20th century, that great scientist, we call Einstein. So Einstein said matter can be converted into energy. Energy can be converted into matter. So that means matter and energy are the same. So when you analyze matter into energy, so everything disappears. There's nothing left, only energy. Various forms of energy will be left. So the same thing now, the Buddha. He is going to analyze all the things in the world. So into, we shall call them the ultimate truth or the ultimate reality. We shall call it, that's called the Paramattha Satya. Paramattha means ultimate, ultimate. Satya is a truth. So we can just call the Paramattha, it's ultimate thing. Now the ultimate realities are entities that really exist by reason of their own intrinsic nature. They are the final irreducible components of existence. Now, when the Buddha, I think you have to, you have to change it. So we'll talk about this King Nilanda and Reverend Nagasena. I will talk a little bit about this. So, I think it's about, just wait a minute, about the 5th century, I think, this King Nilanda is a very, very learned person. And Reverend Nagasena, he is a very learned arahat. So, King Nilanda, he came to ask questions to Reverend Nagasena. First, King Nilanda asked the Reverend Nagasena, "Now, by what name should I call you?" Then Reverend Nagasena said, "Well, there's no person to have a name. And this person and name do not really exist. But my companions, they know me. They used to call me as Nagasena. That is just a name. It does not represent any person or being." So the king says, "Well, in that case, when we offer the four requisites to you, who received these requisites? Since you yourself received these requisites, so you must really exist. So the person must really exist. another sin must exist. So being a monk, why did you say lies? So Reverend Nagasena asked King Milanda, now it's the noontime that you came to this monastery. How did you come? Did you come on foot or by chariot? Oh, I came by chariot. In that case, no, which is the chariot? Is the horse a chariot? No. Is the wheel of the you call that the chariot? No. Is the axle the chariot? No. Is the carriage the chariot? No. Well, you say you come by chariot, and now I ask you to show me which is a chariot, and now you cannot show me which is a chariot. Being a king, why did you say lies? the king said, oh, of course, not the horse, the wheel, the axle, the carriage, individually, they do not represent the chariot. But when they are put together, well, we call it the chariot. So, well, as you understand the chariot, so you should understand a person or Nagasena in that way. So I think if we go to the ultimate realities, it will become more clear. It become more clear. So we'll go to the next. Now, these ultimate realities, when we analyze a person, into the ultimate basic things, then we will get these ultimate realities. Now these ultimate realities, the entities, which result from a correctly performed analysis or psychophysical phenomena, they cannot be further reduced to simpler entities. They can be neither created nor destroyed. They really exist in nature and hold on their characteristics till they perished. They can stand the test or investigation by any method about their reality and real existence. So when we see the ultimate realities, we should know that they really exist in nature. So these ultimate realities, they really exist in nature. And each ultimate reality will have its own characteristic. And it will never give away this characteristic. It will hold on this characteristic till it perishes. So that means it will not change to another thing. It will always be this thing, so long as it exists. And you can't investigate about its actual existence by any method that you want to use. Now, what are these ultimate realities? So the Buddha said there are four. Basically, there are four types of ultimate realities. Now, the first one is citta. So in Pali, I pronounce it. So when you put the T there, it becomes chit, not citta, citta, citta. So it is consciousness or awareness of a sense object. Citta is that which cognizes, which cognizes means which knows an object, and it is the process of cognizing an object. Since every living being, from tiny insects to great Brahmas, is aware of sense objects, there is citta in all living beings. Well, this citta is what we usually call the mind. So we say, no, we have a mind and body. We have a mind and body. And this mind can be aware of various sense objects. Now you look at me, by looking at my appearance, you know I am a man and I am Dr. Mon. Now you hear my voice and you understand what I am saying. Now about the smell, whether it's pleasant smelling or bad smelling, you know it. And you also know the touch, the taste. So there's something in you by which you know the sense object. And we call that chitta. We call that chitta. No? So that consciousness of the senses or awareness of the senses is called the chitta. So by that means, no, you can see chitta is not, no, it's not a living being. No? So you should not misunderstand it as the soul. No, some in some religion they think that there is a soul exists in us. And it is the soul that understands these things, they say. But they say the soul is permanent. No, the soul is permanent. It will never perish. Even if this body, no, disintegrates, the soul will get out to a new body. That's what they say. So, but the Buddha's teacher is not the soul. It's not the soul. So, in order to distinguish from the a living being, we say it is just the process of cognizing an object. It's just understanding, and all the process of understanding the object. It is not a living entity. Not by itself, it's not the soul. And it is not permanent. It is not permanent. No, you will find out later on. It arises and dissolves very rapidly, according to the Abhidhamma. No, so, since we can see even a small ant, they can be aware of the sense objects, so we should say they have consciousness, or they have the chitta. No, so, every living being, since they are aware of sense objects, no, can we say they possess consciousness? No, consciousness exists in them. So in Pali, I think, no, it is better to use the Pali word chitta, no, to designate this ultimate entity. So we call it consciousness. No, so when you say consciousness, just understanding or awareness of its sense object, so it may not refer to a specific entity. No? So when you say chitta, so it is good. I personally prefer not to retain the Pali words, because you will find later on, the Pali words, they can have various meanings. And they cannot be represented by a single English word. No English word. So, in that case, if you try to remember only by the English names, you can become complicated. No? You become complicated. So, chitta is awareness of the sense. So, you cannot deny chitta exists in you and in me. Okay? Now, how about chitta sika? How about the chetasika? Now, let's see. The chetasika is mental factor or mental concomitant. So when we say concomitant, this entity, it arises together with the mind, with the chaita. It is a component of the mind. So a chetasika arises and dissolves together with the chitta. It depends on the chitta for its arising and assists and influences the chitta by its own function and characteristic. There are 52 chitta seekers with different characteristics and different functions. Now some common ones are, I think you'll be familiar with this six. We say lopa. Lopa. So here, when we try to translate it,
I think the greed is the nearest one. But in sometimes, craving would be a better translation. And sometimes we feel attachment would be suitable. So we give various meanings of lupa here. Now lupa, greed, craving, or attachment. So whenever we come across sense objects, pleasant, agreeable, desirable sense objects, what happens? You want to get it, you want to possess it, no? So when you see a beautiful latest model car, no, Toyota Land Cruiser, oh, so beautiful, but how nice! So you have a desire to get it. So actually there's lupa. Lupa is arising in you. So you say, oh, the food is so pleasant, I'm so hungry, I want to eat it. So again you are having lupa there. Now when you enjoy the taste, oh, so tasty, so you like to eat more and more. So that means lupa. Lupa is there. So now you enjoy the movie. Now in Myanmar nowadays, the Chinese movies are becoming very popular. Especially they have the judo ones or all those. So every family, so they are waiting for this program. Oh, as soon as the movie is screened, oh, they get together and have to look for it. So that means they are attached to this beautiful thing. They want to observe it again and again, to enjoy it again and again. So it is the lupa. So you will see this lupa, this lupa, it is present in everybody. So long you are not an arahat yet. You must admit you have lupa. You must admit you have lupa. No? And that lupa, it will never give away this, its characteristic of craving or attachment. However much you get, you will crave more. Now, the more you get, the more you wish, the more is your desire. So the greater becomes your craving. So that is lupa. Lupa is walking in us. And actually the Buddha said that lupa is the cause of all suffering. It is the cause of all suffering. See, even this one citta seeker, very significant. Very significant. It is the second noble truth, samudaya satya. The samudaya satya is the same as the second noble truth, this lupa. So we cannot deny about the existence of lupa. But lupa may not be present in your mind all the time. The Buddha said, it remains latent, or it remains dormant in your mind. So, it is hiding, in other words, in the mind. So it's ready to spring up as soon as you see beautiful sense objects. As soon as you see desirable things, the lupa will come up. So we cannot deny it. So wherever it's this lupa is present, either in a dog, or in a cat, or in a man, or in a king, it will always have this characteristic of cravings and attachment. So when you feed the dogs, if there are several dogs, the bigger ones, they will try to butt at the others, drive away the others, because it wants to eat, more than others. So we can see this lupa. So maybe when you are young, and your parents, say your mother, have three children, so she bought some cake or something like that, and tries to make three shares. So as a child, which share we are looking for? The one a little bigger. So when we ask, whatever you take, so you try to grab the bigger one. So that shows, even as a child, you have that lupa. Now, can you admit, as you grow older, if your lota gets less, or does it get more, or does it get bigger? If your lota is bigger, or it becomes smaller? What would you say? See the people, no, they are running most of the time. No, like in Myanmar, we walk very leisurely. We can take time easily. We can sleep as much as we like. So when I attend the university in New York, so we used to go to the university just leisurely. So other the American, the co-eds, they push me up. Because they are rushing all the time. No? Like the Japanese, with their high heels. So that means lopa. No, lopa is activating them. No, they have to run, they have to walk, they have to no time. So you can see the lopa is in action in the whole world. No, so it's getting worse now, the people. No, they will find the situation becomes worse and worse because they do not know how to control this lopa. So if you know them, you can control. No, now you know what is lopa. Now, as soon as lopa is arising, you can check it. Oh, I'm having lopa now. So you can check it. No, very good. No, once you know it, you can check it. That's true. When I was in the United States, so when they are doing the ball dancing, so I like to dance too. But I do not know about about different beats, different rhythms. I do not know. So I try to enroll in the class, the ball dance class, he said. So when the teacher teaches you, this is a foxtrot, or this is a tango, or this is a samba piece. So once you are taught, you know it. So you can get along with that. The same thing. So as soon as you know about this, the ultimate entity, they are influencing you in many ways, so you can control them. It's very good. Now the next one is dosa. We call it anger, hatred, ill will. So all of you are now smiling. Now if I go near you and hit your head strongly, what will happen? Oh, why do you hit me? You will get angry. So as soon as you are insulted by someone, you can see the anger springs up. So your anger lies dormant, lies latent in your mind all the time. So as soon as you see something that you don't like, it, the anger comes up. The anger comes up. So again, you cannot deny that those are anger is present in your mind. So if you look at the animals, they are wasps, like the dogs, the cats. So if another dog will come here, so they will come and bite. The same with the cats, they will bite. And like the tigers in the forest, so they fight with each other, they bite with each other. So that is because of that dosa. So again, we can see that dosa is present in the mind of all living beings. So only when you become a once returner, you can eliminate that dosa. Only when you become a once returner. And this moha, we call ignorance of the realities and delusion. So again, because of that ignorance, that moha, now when you look at me, you think, I am a man, I am a human being, and I'm Dr. Mom. Because of this moha, you are ignorant of what really exists. What really exists are the chaita, the chaita seekers, and later will come the rupa. But this chaita and chaita seekers, they are formless. They are formless, shapeless. We cannot see them with our eyes. We cannot see them with our eyes. And we will come to rupa very soon. Again, according to the Buddha's Abhidhamma, rupa is formless, shapeless, just like science say, energy is formless and shapeless. Same thing. Everything is no form, no shape in the ultimate sense. Now we are seen as form, as shape, as man, as woman, as Dr. Mom, because of that moha. Because of that moha. No, there is we call it delusion or illusion. Actually, it blinds our vision and it distorts our vision. It distorts our vision. Actually, you will find later on it is a worst. It is the worst mental defilement. It is the leader, this moha. Now, we also have the opposite, the seekers. Now, if you put A in front of lupa, we call it alupa. You don't pronounce alupa. You should pronounce alupa. Alupa. So, it is the opposite of lupa, it's non-greed, non-craving, non-attachment, and generosity. So, usually we have lupa. We like to accumulate as much wealth as possible. Now, when we learned the Buddha's teaching, it is noble to give away. To give away your property in donation, in charity. So many people, they give away their property. They donate even millions of dollars. Like the Ford Foundation, they donated many, many million dollars. Why they can do that? Because of alupa. So lupa is one to grab your wealth. But there's also alupa. You can develop this alupa in you. So we call them the good qualities in a human person. These are the bad qualities or the negative qualities. So the world is in trouble nowadays because of these bad qualities influencing their mind. Now, if we can develop these good qualities, then the world will be peaceful. Will be peaceful right away. So if you have alupa, so you can give away. So the Buddha said, try to give in charity, to make dana as much as possible. By doing that, you are developing this alupa. By doing that, you can develop your alupa, then you will get more and more. You will get more and more. So, and also adosa. Adosa is the opposite of dosa. We can say faithlessness. Now, forbearance, goodwill. So this is the ill will. This is the goodwill. And loving kindness also refers to this adosa. So again, this adosa is a very, very noble quality. Noble quality. Now this dosa, when you become angry, or when you hate your enemy, you want to destroy your enemy. You want to inflict on him, to kill him. So it's very violent, that dosa. Now the opposite, adosa, is very mild and gentle. Very mild and gentle. And forgiving. Even some people would come and insult you. So you smile. You can smile. He's ignoring. He's ignoring. Didn't know, so he insulted me. He tried to quarrel with me. Only fools make the quarrel. He's a fool. So I would not quarrel back. Otherwise I would become a fool like him too. So you can smile because of adosa. You can forgive other people's insult. And remember, forgiveness is divine. Forgiveness is divine. It is very, very beautiful quality. And again, loving kindness is the most beautiful quality in the world. So these are represented by adosa. And amoha is again very wonderful. It is the opposite of moha. Moha is ignorance of the realities. And because you are ignorant, you become deluded. You have delusion. But in the case of the amoha, we call it is non-delusion, insight, or wisdom. So penetrating inside. So the wisdom, you know, that the Buddha said, you penetrate into the ultimate realities. You know what there really exists. So the wisdom or the insight, they refer to the moha. So these are chitta seekers that arise together with the chitta. So they can influence all of us, either for good or for bad. So we cannot deny the existence of these chitta seekers. Can you? Can you agree with me about their existence? So then we can go to the next. So we finished two ultimate realities now, chitta seekers, and the combination of chitta and chitta seeker is called the mind. So you should understand the mind as a combination of chitta and chitta seeker. So I also put down here. No? So the mind is a combination of chitta and chitta. Now the third ultimate reality is called rupa. No, rupa. So we translate it as matter, corporeal reality, or material qualities. Now, what is rupa? Rupa is that which changes its state, form, or color on account of heat or cold, or other adverse or contrary conditions. For example, you have wax. So when it's cold, it is solid. When you heat it, it will melt. It turns into liquid. The same thing with ice and iron. When you heat iron, then it will melt. When you cool it down, it will solidify again. So they can change their state from liquid to solid, solid to liquid. And also they can change in color, in form or shape, so anything. So these are called the rupa. The Buddha analyzes matter into 28 kinds. Now the four basic elements, or the basic rupas, are Pathvi, Abho, Tejo, Vayo. Well, I think we should know at least these four basic rupas. Now, what is Pathvi? Now, Pathvi is defined as the element of extension with the characteristics of hardness and softness. So you can see this table is hard, we would say. No? So there is hardness here. And if you feel the water, you would say it's soft. No? There's softness there. Now if you feel your forehead, since you have the bone here, it's hard here. But if you feel in the temple here, it's soft here. So that hardness and softness represents Pathvi. So you remember, in hardness and softness, there's no shape and form. No shape and form in hardness and softness. But that hardness and softness really exist. It really exists. Right? And the next one is the Abho, the element of cohesion, with the characteristics of cohesiveness and fluidity. Well, we usually illustrate this. Say you take some dry flour. You take some dry flour. Now the particles are not sticky when it is dry. Now you try to add a cup of water. Now that dry flour, so as soon as it becomes wet, it becomes sticky. It becomes sticky and stick together and becomes a lump. So you can see the cohesiveness. Because of the cohesiveness, they stick together and they get into a lump. Now you add some more water. So when it becomes thin, so it can flow. It can flow away. So that cohesiveness and fluidity represents Abho. So I usually regard this arbor as electrical energy. Now, it can be identified as electrical energy. Because in science today, we know the combination of atoms. The combination of atoms into molecules and molecules into cells is brought about by the attraction and repulsion of electrical energy. For example, in the structural atom, you have electrons revolving the nucleus, made up of protons and neutrons. See that the nucleus of the atom is positively charged. It has the protons there. So the electrons must revolve around the nucleus. They must revolve. It cannot stay stationary. It cannot remain stationary, this electron. Now, if it remains stationary, what happens? If the electrons remain stationary, what will happen? You have the positive nucleus, and the electron is negatively charged. There will be electrical attraction. So the electron will be attracted to the nucleus. So the atom will propulse up. No, it cannot exist. It had to revolve. Now when it revolves, it has centrifugal force, we say, that try to drive it away. And that balance the electrical attraction. So it can go on, revolving stationary. So there, this electron is moving all the time. That means fluidity. They have the characteristic of fluidity there. Now, when atoms combine together, like hydrogen and oxygen, the hydrogen, they have only one electron, the hydrogen. The oxygen, so there they share the electron there. Now, by sharing the electron, the hydrogen atom and oxygen atom can combine together. So because of electron, you get combination. That is cohesiveness. And you also have fluidity, like electricity is flowing. So this flowing of electricity and the combination, they refer to arbor. So you can take it as electrical energy. And about the tejo. The tejo. So in Pali, E, you pronounce A. A, so tejo. O is O. We usually pronounce O, tejo. Now tejo is the element of heat or heat energy with the characteristic of hotness and coldness. So it's very outstanding, very distinct. You have the heat, has the property of coldness and hotness. Why do you have the coldness and hotness together? Like we say, because of the sun. When the sun is near to us, we feel hot. We feel hot. Like today, at noon it's quite hot because the sun is quite close to us. Now, when the sun is far away, what happens? You get the coolness. You get the coolness. So this heat energy, when heat flows into the body, we feel hot. When heat flows out of our body, we feel cold. So this, the heat energy, because of heat energy, you get both hotness and coolness. You can get both hotness and coolness. And remember, all these are relativity. Just like in science, they say everything is relative. When you say, this table is hot, so you may be compared with your flesh. So compared to your flesh, this table is hot, we say. Now, this table, if you compare with steel, what would you say? Would you say it is, compared to steel, it is hot or soft? Then it becomes soft compared to steel, softer than steel. So this softness and hotness are just relative. You should know that. That's why we give the two opposites, the meanings for that. So they represent the same thing. Like the hotness case you put there. So we'll say, the one below is softer than the one above. But it is harder than the one below it. So the same thing can be hard and soft. Compare, depending on the things you are comparing with. So you say it has hotness and coolness, and the other cohesiveness and fluidity, tejo, hotness and coolness, and vayo, the element of motion or kinetic energy with the characteristics of pushing and supporting. Now, pushing and supporting, if you try to blow air into a balloon or into the football, so because of the pushing, no? So the ball, no, will expand because of the pushing. Now, as you have the pushing there, you have the supporting also from the walls of the balloon there. Now, why can you sit erect now? Why can I stand erect now? Why can I stand? No, I do not fall now. Not even when I, no, get here, I don't fall. Why? Now I can keep my hand right here. It does not fall. Why can I keep it here? So you see, it is supporting. No, the supporting of wire. Because of the supporting character, I do not fall. So I can balance myself. No, so you can see the supporting. And why can we walk? Why can we walk? So because of the pushing, you get the motion. No, because of the pushing, you get the motion. So in Abhidhamma, we say you can move because of that vayo, no, property of vayo. So there's a pushing, so you get the movement there. So, no, the again, with comparison to science, we would say that pushing and supporting character is similar to the kinetic energy. Kinetic energy will give motion, and the potential energy that can keep you, support, that can support you. So, when the Buddha analyzes matter into those four basic entities, Pathavi, Abho, Tejo, Vayo, his method of analysis is very much different from the Greek philosophers. Now, the Greek philosophers, in trying to find the ultimate realities, now, they try to think that all lives, all existence come from the earth, they say. Some say it will come from water. Some say it will come from the air or from the fire. So they take the earth, no, the earth, the fire, the water, and the air as the basic elements. No, the Greek philosophers. Now we know from the study of science, the earth is not a pure element. It is just a mixture of many things. Water is not the basic element. It is just a compound of hydrogen and oxygen. Air is also a mixture of oxygen and nitrogen. No fire. So they are not the basic thing of, from which existence comes from. Now, so when the Buddha say Pathavi, Abho, Tejo, Vayo, now he didn't refer to the earth, the water, the fire, and the air, just like Greek philosopher. So his method of analysis is very, very scientific. Now, nowadays, no, according to science, no, everything is made up of atoms, no, according to science. Now, atoms are made up of electrons, protons, and neutrons. Now, when you come to protons and neutrons and electrons, they don't have any definite shape and form anymore. No, they are just partly energy, they say. So they become almost identical with energy, just bundle of energy, you might say. Electron, proton, neutron are just bundles of energy. Now, according to the Buddha's analysis, even that electron, not that electron, the basic subatomic particle, is made up of Pathavi, Abho, Tejo, and Vayo. So that means electron protons are not the ultimate, not the ultimate entity yet. They themselves are made up of electron, the Pathavi, Abho, Tejo, Vayo. Because in electron you will have hardness and softness in there. and also the fluidity and the cohesiveness character there. No? Hot and cold character is present in electron. You understand my point? Well, you understand my point? So the Buddha's philosophy is very deep. Let's go very, very deep. And we should say, even now we come to the 21st century now, the science has advanced very, very much, but still it can't go along with science. It can go along with science. Science cannot, cannot say that the statement of the Buddha is wrong. They cannot, they cannot say. They cannot ignore or disregard the teaching of the Buddha. So the Buddha's teaching is very, 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 very profound. Now, the last ultimate entity is Nibbana. Nibbana. So there has been many questions. What is Nibbana? What is Nibbana? Oh, it is desirable, that Nibbana. Do you want to go to Nibbana? So if you ask a person, do you want to go to Nibbana? Okay, I will tell you now, please come. So you will say, no, I don't want to go now. So what is Nibbana? So some characteristics of Nibbana or some definition. We say it is the extinction of greed, anger, and ignorance, which are the causes of all suffering. So the Buddha explains with many, many examples that greed, anger, and ignorance are the causes of all suffering. Now, when that causes of suffering are eliminated, totally eliminated in your mind, if they never arise in your mind, they never exist in your mind, so if there's no causes of suffering, would there be any suffering? So if there's no cause, there will be no effect. No? So if the causes of suffering are eliminated, suffering is also eliminated. Then what will exist in your mind? If no suffering exists in your mind, then what will exist in your mind? So we say, peace and happiness will exist in your mind. That's Nibbana. And you say, this is Nibbana. No? And another way, the Buddha also say, greed, anger, and ignorance. They are the worst worldly fires, they say. They are burning us all the time, though we cannot, we cannot experience about their burning. But we can see when we get angry, our heart beats faster, so your blood began go rush through all your body. So you can feel the hotness there. So it is burning, that anger is burning. So when that fires, these fires are totally extinguished, then you have total peace and happiness. And another one, the emancipation from the entanglement of craving, craving or lopa or tanha. Tanha, actually the craving stands for tanha. And the endless cycle of birth and death or samsara. So Nibbana is the emancipation from the entanglement of craving. And again, that craving is the cause of suffering. So when you can emancipate or escape from that influence of tanha, that means you escape, you become totally free from craving or tanha or lopa. Then it comes to the same thing here. All the causes of suffering is eliminated at that time, so you will enjoy total peace and happiness again. So that is called Nibbana. And the next one, it is the everlasting peace and supreme happiness that can be experienced in this very existence. So to the question, does Nibbana really exist? So we say, you can experience right now No, right now in this very existence. So here again, the teaching of the Buddha is very different from other teachings. No, he wouldn't say, oh, if you follow this, you enjoy Nibbana in the next existence. He didn't say that. No, you can enjoy it right now. No? So you can try it. No, so it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You just try it and you can experience by yourself. You can experience by yourself. And again, this Nibbana as an ultimate reality or a paramatta, it always exists in nature. It is always present, but we cannot see it because of ignorance. No, ignorance and the lupa dosa, the defilement. So, the Buddha gives a comparison. Now, on the full moon night, isn't the moon on the sky? On the full moon night, the moon must be present in the sky. But when you have thick layers of clouds, you cannot see the moon. Now, just because you cannot see the moon, would you say the moon is not does not exist? Can you say the moon does not exist? Just because you cannot see it. But we know it must exist. Not that we cannot see it. Now, if the wind blows away these layers of clouds, one layer after another, when all the clouds has been cleared away, then you will see the full moon very vividly, the same thing. So this lupa dosa moha, we are just like clouds. They are shattering Nibbana. You drive them away. As soon as you can drive them away, you will see Nibbana. And the Buddha gave the method. He didn't just mention that, he also pointed out the method how you can drive away this lupa dosa moha and experience Nibbana right away. So, do you agree that its four ultimate realities really exist? So if I ask you, what are the ultimate realities that exist in a human being? What would be your answer? Would you say all the four ultimate entities exist in us? I think you should answer only three. Not the citta, citta seeker, rupa exists in you. But this Nibbana, you cannot say it exists in you. Now you go to the next. We have to go to the next one, I think. Still we have one more. A little lower. Can you lower it a little bit? Yes. So we call Nibbana supramundane. Now in Pali we say Lokuttara. No, Lokuttara, supramundane. That is beyond the mundane world of 31 planes of existence. It always exists as a paramanta, and it can be realized by the knowledge of the four paths. No, that is Mekka, Jnana. And the four foods is Thala, Jnana. So this Nibbana, it can be realized. It can be seen, it can be observed, but not with our naked eye. No, you have to see with some power which can observe it. So when we say, when the medical doctors say, oh, there are billions of bacteria in your blood, well, we cannot see those bacteria with the naked eye. You have to look under the microscope in order to see the bacteria. The same thing, you cannot see Nibbana with this eye, but you can see them with the Mekka Jnana or Phala Jnana. So Nibbana is regarded as supramundane. It is beyond the mundane world. No, the mundane world is the 31 planes of existence. It's called the mundane world. So since it's supramundane, It is not associated with Nama and Rupa. No? But we can experience this when the Rupa Dosa is totally eliminated in us. So the first thing is to undertake a noble practice and experience the Rupa, the Nibbana by yourself. So once you can experience, no, you can judge whether the Buddha's teaching is correct or not. So it is supposed to be the most supreme, no, peace and happiness. So many areas, we call noble persons, they could experience this, no, the Nibbana bliss, and nobody give up that bliss anymore. So we can agree with the Buddha, no, that Nibbana is the highest peace and everlasting peace. Now we have some note here. No? So, citta and citta seekers. Both of them are aware of the senses, and they are always bent towards the senses in order to observe the senses. So they are collectively called nama. So you should be familiar with this word, nama. No, nama. So it refers to citta and citta seeker. And it can be that the mind can be taken as the nama too. So we say only nama rupa exists in a person. No, so only nama rupa. Not only in a single person, in all the universe, in the whole universe, only nama rupa exists, according to the Buddha's philosophy. Remember, this statement is much, much comprehensive than the science statement. According to science, only matter and energy exist. And that matter and energy belongs to rupa. It is included in rupa. So that rupa comprises the matter and energy known to science. But even up to now, science do not know about the existence of the mind. No, the existence of the mind. There's no instrument. You might ask, why did the Buddha know? Even those scientists do not know the mind. How come that the Buddha could know this? Well, not only the Buddha, you yourself can see your mind, can see your mind, can analyze your mind in the citta and citta seekers. And this has been done in insight meditation. And we have meditation centers in Myanmar nowadays. We call International Buddha Sasana Center in Myanmar, where they teach you how to observe this citta, citta seekers, and ultimate rupas that are arising and dissolving in you. So all the teachings of Buddha can be verified by your own experience. So we should not doubt about the reality of this teaching. So there's would you say to see things as they really are in vipassana means to see all animate and inanimate things as being compounded with ultimate realities. But in our daily life, we must employ conventional realities and conventional truths to communicate with one another. Now you know about two types of truth now. What are they, the two types of truth? So in English you just say conventional truth, samuti satya, and the ultimate truth, paramattha satya. Now, there's a difference between the two. The ultimate truth or ultimate realities, they really exist in nature, but they are formless and shapeless, so we cannot observe them with our naked eye. We cannot observe them, so we cannot see them. What we can see is the conventional truth. We can see living beings. We can see inanimate things. We think they really exist. But when you analyze them, the do not really exist. You can't know. So they seem to exist, but they do not really exist. So in the ultimate sense, you may, not only in the ultimate sense, you may say, oh, a being or a man does not exist. But no, the Buddha says, though this conventional truth, no, they do not really exist, you should not ignore them. You should not ignore them. You should not take that, oh, a man does not exist, so his properties do not exist, so I can take his properties, so I can take his wife. No, so you should not do that. Since a man does not exist, I can kill him. It's not murder, you would say, but it would be murder. No. So you should not ignore these conventional things. No, just like science says the man exists too. No, science knows that the man is compounded with atoms. No, in the ultimate sense, only electrons, protons and neutrons, no, exist in the whole universe, in every person. But no, we should not deny the existence of the living beings also. No, the same also. Because of this, no, the combination, cause-effect relation, so these arises. So you should not, no, ignore them. So we have a good saying of the Reverend Sayadaw, the chief abbot, Kanti Sayadaw, we say, who is given the title of Abhijaya Maharatha Guru, is the highest title in Myanmar, no, the conferred to the chief abbot. Now what he says is very good. When you speak in terms of conventional truths, because you have to use the names, no, of all these things and beings in order to, no, speak to one another. So we have to use these conventional truths or the names of these things in our communication. But you must know what you speak in terms of ultimate truths. So though you say, no, I, you, so you refer that, no, as a person, you should know that, oh, I'm made up of only the ultimate realities. In the ultimate sense, I do not exist. A man do not exist. No? So if you can have that attitude, then you will not be selfish. No, you can forgive other people's insults. When you say, oh, there's no man exists and I do not exist, so he's insulting no one, since I do not exist, he's insulting no one. So you can forgive him. No, you can forgive him. So, no, that selflessness, no, is very, very a noble attitude. No, to be selfish is very wicked and low. So actually the Buddha analyzed, no, into these ultimate realities, no, to give us, no, the correct view of the correct understanding of these, no, living the psychophysical phenomena, and to get rid of that wrong view of what we call personality belief. No, personality belief. It's in Pali we call Sakkaya Dukkhi. So long you have that personal belief, you believe I exist. No, my wife and my children exist, my properties exist. You attach to yourself and you attach to these things. So the Buddha said, you have the ticket to go to hell. So long you have that personal belief, you cannot escape from hell. No, you cannot escape from hell. So, no, the first thing in life is to get rid of that personal belief so that we can be, no, always, no, always, no, free from those being reborn in hell. So we say to get the doors of the hell closed forever for us. No, to close the doors of the hell and the wolf of boats forever, you must get rid of that personal belief. So for that, this understanding is very important. Now, we shall go to the chapter 1. So I brought 60 copies of my book. And those who would like to get them, well, you can get from the office. No, I brought 60 books. And also the one of our Dharma friend, Reverend Hui Zing, and he is publishing, trying to print 1,000 copies of this. And he said the books will be available today or tomorrow, he said. But here, today they print out the first chapter. The first chapter is being printed and being distributed to you. So you can look at the first chapter. So can I go on for 1/2 hour more? So I think we should take 2 hours. It's supposed to be 2 hours. Can you? So I think, to get some on page 20 actually. So it's a chapter 1 is on chaitta. Now, when we say chaitta, you can turn it off now. When we say chaitta, what is chaitta? So remember, chaitta is consciousness of the senses or awareness of the senses. So by that meaning, there's only one kind of chaitta in the whole universe. Now that means the chaitta in every living being will have this characteristic of awareness of the senses. So by play, that are included in the Kama Loka or the sense sphere. So these beings in this Kama Loka, they enjoy the sense pleasure. They enjoy the sense pleasure. So that is called Kama. Kama, so they enjoy the senses. So we call them the sense sphere. So these chaitas, they arise mostly in this Kama sphere. But you should know that they also arise in other spheres also, but not as frequently as in the Kama Loka, right? Now the number 2 is Rupa Vachara Chaitra. Now there Rupa Avachara. Consciousness mostly experienced in the fine material sphere, Rupa Loka. So there are 16 planes. This refers to the 16 planes inhabited by Rupa Brahma. The Rupa Brahma, they have body and mind, but their body is made up of very fine material. So we call them fine material spheres. We cannot see it with our eyes. They are very fine. So these are the chaitas that arise mostly in this Rupa Brahma. Number 3 is Arupa Vajra Chaitra. Consciousness mostly experienced in the immaterial sphere. So they refer to the 4 Arupa planes, where you have the Arupa Brahma. Those Arupa Brahmas, they don't have body. So they have only mind. They have only mind. So there's no body there. So these are the chaitas that arise in them, mostly. And number 4 is Lokottara chaitas. Consciousness experience in the supramundane or transcendental level. Or those chaitas that can realize Nibbana. That can realize Nibbana, this Lokottara chaitas. So we shall go to the first class on page 21. We call Kama Vajra Chaitas. Now there are 54 Kama Vajra Chaitas, which may be divided into 3 classes. Akusala Chaitas. Now Akusala, we say here immoral consciousness. So you can also say unwholesome consciousness. Unwholesome or immoral consciousness. So these chaitas are not moral. They break the moral rules, actually. So you have the wrong conduct because of this. You perform wicked things. So akusala. Akusala means immoral and unwholesome. usually when we say it is unwholesome, it is blameworthy. It is blameworthy. It could be blamed by the wife. And usually, not by this teacher, no, someone may be inflicted. Some harm is done towards somebody. So it is unwholesome. No, because it causes harm to somebody. And also it would be bad result. It would be bad result. And no, when we understand further, we leave behind akusala kama, unwholesome kama. Now that will make us to be reborn in woeful abodes. No, woeful abodes. So when you grow up to that, you can agree they are immoral and unwholesome. No, since they inflict some harm towards someone, either to others or to you, and you will get the bad result from that. And the worst result is being reborn in woeful abodes. Because of this teacher, you will become wicked and will be reborn in woeful abodes. So they are unwholesome. Just only 12, only these 12 are unwholesome. Now, number 2 is ahetuka citta, rootless consciousness. And kama sovana is the beautiful. Sovana means beautiful. Beautiful consciousness in the sense sphere. So you will see later on this ahetuka citta. They are actually neutral citta. Now they will help us to be aware of the 5 senses. They will help us to be aware of the senses. And that kama sovana, they are the beautiful consciousness that can arise in us. So don't worry about this thing, yes? No? These are just something. So we go to page 22. That is akusala citta. Now, this immoral consciousness. No? So here we say akusala means immoral. People usually commit wicked or evil deeds with akusala citta. So akusala cittas bear bad result. Now there are 12 akusala cittas, which are further divided into 3 classes. Now, number 1 is lopa mula citta. Consciousness, citta is consciousness. Mula is rooted. Mula is the root. So rooted in greed or attachment. Lopa is greed or attachment. So you would say it is a greed-rooted citta. They are based on lopa. So whenever we come across desirable sense objects, then we crave or we desire to possess them, to get them. So at that time, the lopa mula cittas will arise in us. The greed-rooted cittas will arise in us. So these cittas, they have greed as their root. Not just like a tree or a plant can grow from the root. Because of that, the root of lopa, that greed, rooted citta will arise. The same thing, number 2 is dosa mula citta, consciousness rooted in hatred or evil. On here you have dosa as the root. So whenever you are not satisfied with some condition, then you feel angry. You feel unsatisfied. So during that time, dosa mula citta will arise in you. And number 3 is moha mula citta, consciousness rooted in delusion or ignorance. Now we shall go to the lopa mula citta. Now there are 8 of them. So we try to give them the symbols in the box there so that you can remember their names easily. So in the box there, you have 4 plus sign and 4 minus sign. So these signs, they represent the 8 lopa mula citta. Now under the box there, we give you the direction there. the positive sign denotes somanasa sahagatam. Now, that somanasa, if you look at the meaning on the right, on the right hand page there, you will see somanasa there. Now, somanasa is mentally pleasant feeling. So when you get this great rooted chitta, you also experience pleasant mental feeling. Now when you get pleasant mental feeling, you will be joyful. So, the somanasa is pleasantly mentally feeling or joyful. And sahagatam means together with or accompanied by. So, when you say somanasa sahagatam, you understand this chitta is accompanied with pleasant mental feeling, and because of that pleasant mental feeling, you will be joyful. You will be joyful. Not just like you enjoy the movie or the song. So there, at the time, if you feel joyful, then you will be having somanasa sahagatam, pleasant mental feeling. And the negative sign, if you look at the under the table, again you have the negative sign, denotes upikha sahagatam. Now what is upikha? Again on the right, on page 23, the second line from the bottom, upikha means indifferent or neutral feeling. So here we are going to describe, first three types of feeling. You have the mentally pleasant feeling, and then you will have mentally painful feeling. When you are angry, you get mentally painful feeling. Now this neutral feeling or indifferent feeling is neither pleasant nor painful. So neither pleasant nor painful. So we call it neutral feeling or indifferent feeling. So at that time you will be neither joyful nor painful at that time. Now, so again, if you look at the box, at the bottom of the positive sign there, you get at the top of the positive sign there, you have Dikti-sam. Dikti-sam actually stands for on the top of page 23. You can see the first the name of the teacher, the name of the first teacher. We got the first name, Somanasa Sagatam, Deitigata Sambayutam. So that Deitigatam, it refers to Deitigata Sambayutam. Now what's the meaning of Deitigata Sambayutam? You please look at the meaning, at the meaning there. So there you can see the third line of the meaning, the Deiti. The Deity is around you, thinking that karma and its effect do not exist. So the basic wrong view is to be ignorant of karma, to be ignorant of karma. You think this karma and its effect does not exist. So if you have that view, during that, you are enjoying the movie. So when you are enjoying the movie, so you are having lopa mula chitta. Great rooted chittas are arising in you. So you have pleasant feeling at that time. So we say that chitta, consciousness, is accompanied with pleasant mental feeling. So you say somanasa sahagatam. Again, while you are observing that movie, you don't know, you don't pay any attention to karma and its result. So, by reasoning like this, I am watching the movie. I am enjoying it. So at this time, lopa mula cheaters will be arising. So these lopa mula cheaters are immoral, unwholesome. They will bring the unwholesome karma, and that will be a bad result for me. So, if you can think of that, you can be aware of something like that, then we say, you are having the right view about the karma and its result. But usually while we are enjoying the movie, we never pay attention to, you know, reasoning like that. So at that time we say, you neglect karma and as a result. So the Buddha said, your teacher is accompanied with the wrong view, dikhi. So it is called dikhikata sambhyuttam. So sambhyuttam is also given in the meaning. It's connected with or associated with, you know, the wrong view. So your greed-rooted teacher is associated with the wrong view. So we call it dikhikata sambhyuttam. And the next word is dikhikata vipayuttam. No, so in the next box you can see deity weak. So deity weak, you know, it refers to weak is vipayuttam. So under the sambhyuttam you get the vipayuttam. So it means disconnected with or not associated with. So when you are having the right view while you are watching the movie, or you can think, oh, I'm, you know, watch enjoying with the Lopa Mula cater, so this will bring that result to me. So if you can be aware of that, then you say your teacher is dikhikata vipayuttam, not associated with the wrong view, not associated with the wrong view. And about the a and sa, so you just look at the meaning. A sankharika means spontaneous, unprompted, or automatic. No, it refers to the fact that, no, that teacher, that mind, that consciousness, is volitionally active. Volitionally active. This volition. Now volition will come later on. So it refers to the another chitta seeker. Now we call volition. And that volition, you know, will give rise to the karma. So if your mind is spontaneous or unprompted, that means the mind is volitionally active. So you see some people's money there, the purse is being left there, so you just take it, grab it. So we say, you know, you take other people's money, that you steal, you know, with spontaneous mind. That is, your mind is volitionally active during that time. So if your mind is volitionally active, the karma is very strong. So when it bears result, no, the karma will be strong. If you are being born, say, like a beautiful ghost, no, you have to suffer for a long time. No, you'll be, so because this karma is strong. So, no, so the Buddha also denotes the volition, the condition of the volition during that time. No, so sometimes you don't, no, don't you, see the purse with much money in that. Oh, there's not a pass with money. Oh, it's better I take it. Then you control yourself. Oh, it's not right to take other people's purse. Oh, it's a good chance for you. You should take it. So you try to persuade you. Then you take it. Then we see your mind is not volitionally active. So it is called sa sankharika. No, that sankharika and asankharika comes from sankhara. It derives from sankhara. That sankhara refers to volition. No, volition. So when you say asankharika, volitionally active. So it's spontaneous. No? So you do it immediately. But if it is sankharika, it is volitionally inactive. You have to prompt yourself, persuade yourself to take it, to commit it. So we say it is sankharika. So here the karma would be weak. No, the karma that is produced would be weak. So if even it bear result, so there would be, no, the result would not come immediately. So it would be some delay in that, because you are hesitant, no, to take other people's properties. So the result will be also hesitant. So it won't come immediately. No, like we have stories that though some people are born in hell, they have the chance not to meet the, you know, that we call it yama, no, yama. What do you call it? No, the king yama, the king of the hell. So you can go to him and you can You can have the apology, something like that. And you can be, if you can remember some of your good deeds, then he can free you. But only when your deed is, your bad deed is, only you have the bad deed, that you have to suffer in hell. So that means there's some delay there. You will not be reborn immediately. And even if you are reborn in hell because of this karma, so since the karma is weak, you won't have to suffer very long there. So because of this, we have the 8 Loka Mula Chaitas. Now we can read the names on page 23. So Somanasa Sahagatam Echikata Sambayuddham Asankarikam Ekam. Ekam at the bottom, you can see it just means just one. Ekam Eka means one. So one chaita, that is Asankarika Ekam. Ekam means one chaita. Asankharika means not prompted or spontaneous. Dechikata sambhyutam, it means accompanied with the wrong use. Somanasa sagatam, it means associated or accompanied by pleasant mental feeling. So we can understand the meaning. Now please read the names then. Somanasa sagatam, dechikata sambhyutam, sa sankharikam ekam. What is the difference between these two chaitas? Just in asankharika and sasankharika. One is spontaneous and one is not spontaneous. 3 and 4, we can read together. Somanasa sahakatam dechikata vipayutam asankharikam ekam sasankharikam ekam. So they represent these two. Now, what's the difference between the first pair and this second pair? The first pair is Dechikata Sambhyutam, associated with the wrong view. So the second pair is Dechikata Vipayutam, not associated with the wrong view. Now, for the remaining four, you just change Somanasa into Upekha. No? You just change Somanasa into Upekha. So you will please, let's read the name. Upikha sahagatam dechikata sambayutam asankharikam ekam sa sankharikam ekam. And the next two, upikha sahagatam dechikata vipayutam asankharikam ekam and sa sankharikam ekam. Now, so these 8 Pali words, I think it's better not to remember them. Not to remember them. So if you are to answer, like you appear for the examination, or be my examination, like in Myanmar, we have the examination every year. It begins on the 21st December. So, you may be asked, say this is the complete chart on chaitas. This chart would be very, very beautiful. So from this chart, we can see, or we can review what we have just read. You have 54 Kama Vajra chaitas, the 15 Rupa Vajra chaitas, the 12 Arupa Vajra chaitas, and the 8 Lokutra chaitas. Now among the 54 Karma Vajra Chaitas, there are 12 Akusala Chaitas, 18 Ahetuka Chaitas, and 24 Karma Sovana Chaitas. Again, the 12 Akusala Chaitas are made up of these 3 groups. So we are concerned with the first group tonight. So if you know these 8 Lupamula Chaitas tonight, then that would be quite a good headway. We have made a good headway. So tomorrow would be very easy. Now only this 8 names, so the rest will become easy. So let's try to read the 8 names from this chart, from the symbols. So if you see the positive sign, so you read it, Somanasa Sahagatam. If you see the negative sign, you read it, Upikha Sahagatam. And Dechikata Sambhayutam, Desikata Vaitayutam, Asankharika, Asankharikam Ekam, or you can say Asankharika Chita, Sasankharikam Ekam. So let's try to read, no, from this chart, not from your nose. So let's try to see whether you can read the names. Okay, the first page. Somanasa sahakatam dechikata sambayutam asankharikam ekam sa sankharikam ekam. The next page. Somanasa sahakatam dechikata vipayutam asankharikam ekam sa sankharikam ekam. Upika sahakatam dechikata sambayutam asankharikam ekam sa sankharikam ekam. Upika sahagatam vaitikata vaitayutam asankharikam ekam sa sankharikam ekam. So if you can read, you know, the word, now try to know the meaning of each chitta. So actually the meaning is given on the next page of your sheet there. Now for number one, now we see the one consciousness, that's ekam. Now unprompted, that is asankharikam, accompanied by jivan, somanasa sagatam, and connected with round you, or accompanied by round you, dechikata, dechikata, sambayuta. So just look at here, then we can go to the next chitta. So the next chitta would be the sasankharika chitta. So we say one chitta, one consciousness that is prompted, no, is non-spontaneous or prompted, and it is accompanied by somanasa, pleasant mental feeling, or pleasant with joy, connected with joy, accompanied with joy. And then dechikata sambayutam, associated with the wrong view, right? And for the next pair, what would you say? The two chaitas, the first one would be asankharika, so it would be one consciousness, unprompted, and associated with joy, and also dechikata vipayutam, not connected with the wrong view. No? And the next one would be the unprompted one, or the prompted one. So when you come to the next four, they are associated with the neutral feeling, or we say associated with indifference. Indifference, you are neither happy nor, no, you are not sorry for that. So you have the indifferent feeling. So you can know the meaning. No? You can know the meaning. Now the next thing would be the application. Now the application of this chitta. Now try to know when these chittas arise in you. Try to be aware of that. Now let's try to reason how often these lupa mula chittas will arise in us. Now early in the morning when you get up from bed, after washing your face, then you look into the mirror. Whom do you see in the mirror? Whom do you see in the mirror? The most beautiful lady or the most handsome gentleman there you will see. No? So when you look at yourself in the mirror, no, you say, oh, I'm quite handsome, I'm quite beautiful. So what chitta will arise at that time? So if you appreciate yourself, you think, oh, I'm quite handsome and beautiful. So if you like yourself, you are having lupa mula chitta. So that lupa mula chitta, does it arise spontaneously or does it to be prompted? It arises spontaneously. So we say asankharika chitta, asankharika chitta. So during that time, do you have the pleasant feeling or do you have joy? Oh, if you have joy, so it would be somanasa sahagatam. So during that time, do you reason about the karma in the result? No, so you say dechikata sambhyutam. So what would be the chitta? So the number one, no, you can name it. Somanasa sagatam, dechikata sambayutam, asankarika, no, lupa mula chita, we'll say. No, lupa mula chita. Now, you comb your hair, you apply the makeup and the lipstick. So you say, oh, I'm more beautiful, more attractive now. So what will be the chita again? So you have the same, no, somanasa sagatam, lupa mula chita again. So then after that, you change your dress. You put on the new dress. So you stand in the, you know, the phone mirror there, trying to, you know, turn this side and that side. Oh, very handsome. So what chita is getting at that time? Again, somanasa sagatam, dechikata samyutam, asankarika chita. So if you look at yourself, no, you appreciate yourself, but you don't feel very joyful. So at that time, what will be the chita? So it will be upikha sahagatam. No? Upikha sahagatam, dechikata samyutam, asankarika chita. Then after dressing yourself, you come down to the dining hall. Oh, no, you can see the mother. Oh, she prepares coffee for you. And with the assorted cakes, the best cakes in Kuala Lumpur. So when you can get the smell, the pleasant smell, and you see those cakes. So what chita would you have at that time? So you feel joyful, oh, I'm going to get some good food. So again, you have somanasa sagatam, dechikata sambyutam, asankarika lopamula chita. No? So if the food is not very, very good, no, so if you enjoy it, but not, no, with joy, so you have upikha sagatam during that time. Now you turn on, no, the cassette, listen to the music. So if you like the music, you try to chant with the music. So what would be your chitta again? Again, somanasa sagatam dechikata samyutam asankarika chitta. No, so if you turn on the TV, or if you look at the advertisement, or the beautiful TV model, or not showing all you appreciate, then you will get the same chitta. Now you go to work. No? So if you go with the intention of making money, so with what chitta you are going? So again you are going with lupa mula chitta. Now while you are driving there, you turn on the radio, you listen there, you are trying to enjoy it, again you are going to lupa mula chitta. Now when you return, getting some, you make a lot of money today, so with what chitta would you come back? Again with lupa mula chitta. Well, you think of, you know, buying some good food for you and for the family. So what would be the chitta while you are buying the food? Again, lupa mula chitta. And when you eat them with your family, what will be the chitta? Lupa mula chitta. Now when you come back, you go back to your room now. So while you take a rest, you turn on the radio or the TV and you enjoy the movie. So what would be the chitta? So the somanasa sa lupa mula chitta again. Now you go to bed, you turn off the lights, you go to bed, but you still think over about that movie, so you are having lupa mula chitta. So how often that lupa mula chitta arrives in you? So the Buddha said, now this chitta, they can arise and dissolve very, very rapidly. So in the order of 1 trillion chittas, and not pa wing or pa snap of the hand. So while you make a wing, or just, you know, you point a snap of the hand. 1 trillion chittas, 1 trillion means 1,000 billion chittas, can arise and dissolve. No? Very first. So we can appreciate it, no? Because in science we know that this electron is moving very first. No, around the nucleus, it's changing very first. Even the rupa is changing so first, the mind would be changing faster. So, no, the Buddha's saying is correct. So, while you're watching the movie, you're having rupa mula chitta by trillion, trillion. So, no, he said, you know, so the Buddha said, don't take other people's properties. So even while you are trying to take other people's property, no? So in during that moment, you will have trillions of lupa mula chitta. So trillions of that karma, no, will be deposited in your mental scene. So these karma, they are just like the seeds of the fruits. From each seed, you can have a new karma. The same thing from each karma, you can have, no, a woeful existence from each karma. So, no, by stealing or cheating or committing rape, no, so, no, you are doing so billions of the akusala karma, so you have to suffer many, many woeful existences. So if we understand this thing, we'll be scared not to do the immoral things. And we'll try to check, no, ourselves from getting this lupa mula cheaters, no, all the time. So, no, you just look at people, no, because they are always, no, going for wealth, for wealth, for wealth. So now they are living just with lupa mula cheaters, no, all around the world. So, no, let's try to avoid, not to be not included in among them, among these people. I think we can stop today. No? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now, what's the present?